So we'll get into it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. G'day, everybody, and welcome to the show. And today we've got Kay McCulloch. How are you going?
Good.
Did I say that for last bit, probably?
Your last one? Yeah.
Bit trippy there. Do you want to let the viewers and listeners know just a bit about yourself and your background at the moment, and then we'll go into how things started?
Yeah, sure. Professionally, I'm a naturopath and a holistic healer. I do shamanism, alchemy, and druidry. I'm a practitioner of that, and I also mentor and teach people in that area as well. And I've been doing that professionally for the past 15 years, but I grew up with all that sort of stuff as well.
Yeah.
So awesome. It's in my blood.
Yeah. Now, you do a lot of CE5. You're the Australian contact point for Dr. Greer,
yes,
is that right?
That's correct.
So you've done... You do a lot of things behind the scenes, I would say, and in the public eye.
Yep.
How did this all come to be for you in terms of, like, experiences and to get to where things are led now, which will be a bit of a story, but, sort of, we'll go back to the start of it,
I guess. Well, it was just before my 6th birthday, and I had my first conscious experience of contact.
So going back,
so that's like 1975.
Yeah, that's a while ago.
And there was actually a lot of sightings around 1974 through to 76 too.
Yeah.
Worldwide, so there was a bit of a...
What area was that in?
That was down near Kiama in New South Wales.
Yeah?
Yep, near the old blowholes.
That's a beautiful area too.
It is, grew up there.
So what were you seeing, like, in terms of interactional crafts?
What we saw is my mother and my second eldest brother saw it, and it was just this big, beautiful blue. Well, I actually only saw half of it because the other half was on the other side of the hill.
Yeah,
and it was
so it was big.
I don't think it was like a mothership, but it was like, let's say, the sister ship.
And
I just remember the colour. It was like this beautiful midnight blue. And then that's when I had my first out-of-body experience. So, like, I'm here, and then all of a sudden I'm over there, and I'm going, wow, I'm dead.
And
I'm, you know, being a five-year-old, I just thought it was a game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and my mum and my brother were just, like, sitting there, and I thought they were dead as well, but it kind of didn't worry me, which was a bit...
Demon child. Exorcist.
Yeah.
Weird.
And then I had a few blank moments where I don't remember what happened, which I have been hypnotized and regressed for and started remembering on my own as well what had happened. But I was actually taken up on board the ship.
Yeah.
And I was sat in a beautiful round room, sort of whites and the colors were amazing, whites and creams, and there was like a curtain there, and it opened up and there was this screen, and it just started feeding me information. And it was like universal information. It was different.
I had similar stuff. So was it just...
Yeah. Bombarded.
Flashes of images.
Yeah.
And there was download, like, components to it. Yeah.
Absolutely. But I consciously knew too, this is weird. This is happening. I'm being taught something. Or helped to remember something as well. And there was different ET languages and so forth in there, but also about the history of the world and things like that. And then... Once it had stopped, I looked over and there was at least, I'd say, about 10 different ET beings.
So they were all different races.
It's like they were standing, not sure if it was glass or like a force field or something there, but there was something blocking them from me. And it was like a confederation ship or something. It wasn't just the one race on there. And they're all still standing there and just looking at me, and I'm going, yeah, I've seen you guys before.
Like, it sounds familiar.
Didn't scare me at all. And then there was one beautiful big, what I call like an angelic grey, almost translucent, almost plasma-like.
Yeah.
They just, when you're in their presence, they just make you want to cry.
What colour was this being?
Pure white.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it went like that to me. And I just went, I know you. And that's the one I had a lot of contact with as a child.
Yeah, so that was popping in and out in the childhood.
So
that was sort of like a lot happening at the young age.
Yeah,
where some people progress at an older age, there's people like yourself and Lauren, which were at Lauren's house. You can go back a few episodes and see Lauren's episode.
Give me the bunny ears.
Yeah, come and say g'day.
Involved. Just about to go out and do a night watch.
All right.
Involved. We'll catch up with you soon. Cool.
Involved. Pick a marshmallow.
I didn't make much of an invite.
Involved. Yeah, that's funny. Pink marshmallow. So where did things progress for you from there? Like, obviously there was, like, the awakening would be different to what it would be for someone later on, because this is happening at an earlier age, and it's basically you're getting connected earlier. Like,
that's,
you
know, right.
And you're not getting the programming. So
I started having some weird dreams, past life stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I remember at primary school, I actually just told this story the other day, we had to do a written composition about our life, and I was already out there. I don't think I was ever born in a box.
Yeah.
I just appeared. And I thought, I'm going to write about that dream I had the other night, because I know that that witch in that dream was me.
Yeah.
And I think her name was Zelda or something like that. And I wrote it out and got really severely in trouble with my teacher for doing it. And then she said, this isn't about you. And I said, but it is me. It's me. And we did some research, and apparently there was a woman in the area who was called Zelda, you know, way back when, and it's like, yeah, that's me in a past life.
Trippy.
So it's like stuff was coming through for me. I became very psychic, started seeing elementals and nature spirits, and just I could hear the animals talking to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was sort of like all through thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you basically, you're getting really in tune with, like, your awareness is really right up there at that point.
Yeah. Probably until I hit my teenage years.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just want to be a rock star.
So how was it for you at that stage? Because that's what it's like. Everyone wants to be a rock star, or they want to be Mr. Popular and all that.
Yeah, and boys became interesting.
And boys get into it, and the drinking later on and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So that sort of played out for you about in your teenage years?
Probably from the age of, say, 14 through to 18. So just that four-year period. Because I used to play a lot of sport as well, and I just sort of, you know...
So you're an active ship, getting involved.
Yeah, we moved from New South Wales to Queensland during that time as well, so it was a bit of a big upheaval. So I left all my friends and family, and then all of a sudden we're in this place where I don't know anyone. And then about the age of 16, I actually started having some really strange dreams again. I actually dreamt of the Roma Street station before it was even built.
Yeah.
And then I remember walking down there with my mum, and I grabbed her and I said, "Whoa, I've actually dreamt about this, but it was like before they dug the hole."
Yeah.
So I started to regain then, and then it was about 18 that I had full memory of the first contact when I was 5.
Yeah, and that's similar to me. Later on, the recollection kicked in, and I could remember clear as day.
Yeah.
And there's something activated, like it's the right time for the memories, you know, memory to come into play. So did that, in those teenage years, those little periods there, did stuff die down, then obviously, bang, it kicked up again? Is that how it was?
It was probably about 17. I remember I was at this party, and I think it was the first time I ever had gin and tonic as well. before I had too much gin and tonic, I just started blurting out about, does anyone believe in UFOs? And I'm going, we shouldn't be talking about this here. And they're all going, because all the people were a lot older than me. And they're going, and there was a couple of people who went, well, what have you got to say about it for yourself? And I said, I don't know, I just thought I had to say that. And then I just kept drinking gin and tonics. But then at 18, I started having these recurring dreams. And I went, and then I found my notebook as a kid that I'd started writing down the experiences. And I went, that's real. It's not just a dream. This happened to me. So I still got that notebook too.
And there's detail.
And there's detail there too. So it was like fresh out of my memory and my experience. And then that's when I contacted Martin and Cheryl Gottschall from, Martin Gottschall, Cheryl wasn't Cheryl Gottschall then, from UFO Research Queensland. And I wrote them a letter and I said, I'm having some weird dreams and experiences and da-da-da-da. And I ended up meeting them, I think it was probably a year later actually. And they were a great help.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's just like, okay, I'm not crazy after all.
Yeah.
And then that's when I started asking family members again, you know, Mum, what do you remember about this? She goes, I remember that.
So it did run in the family.
Yeah, right through to back to my grandparents, as far as I know. It's probably even back further. My dad, he was a jackaroo in his younger days down the Snowy Mountain River area.
Yeah.
And he saw some trippy stuff, you know, things coming out of the sky and landing in front of him. And he'd always had some weird experiences as well. And my brother as well, he was at a younger age into sacred geometry, building sacred geometry gardens with moats around them and making sure that those plants were planted in the right spot, so he was going by feeling. So that was the druidry shamanism side coming out of our existence our family bloodline. So that, I think that helped as well, because we were already open to things. And then my other brother really didn't talk too much about it. I think it sort of, he had a probably a more negative experience from it than what we did. And I think that's what happens with people. Three people can have the same experience, but two will have a really good experience. The other one will go, no, mine was an abduction experience rather than a contact experience too. Yeah, so, and then, but now even into my niece's generation and their kids, they're having experiences as well.
And how are they coming to, like, their intelligence, like how they articulate and how they grow up, like is different. There's something about it.
Most of them are just sort of taking in their stride.
They're different than sort of us and then those before us again, how they take that on board. Yeah,
like my eldest now, she's very psychic and, you know, she's the original one that says, oh, I can see dead people.
Yeah, the original of it, yeah.
So,
there's a lot of that, isn't there?
So she won't go to graveyards or psychic fairs.
yeah, it'd be too busy, too packed for her. Yeah, she'll be picking up on it all.
Yeah, so, and then it was in the early 90s I joined UFO Research Queensland and became part of the committee and started helping out with investigations and stuff like that. And it was around the same time that I actually became a private investigator.
Yeah.
So I was utilising those skills and bringing it over to the UFO field.
That would have been pretty productive too, because you're doing it how you would it to any investigation.
Yeah, that's right. So I knew how to properly interview someone
and
to look for different signs and stuff like that. So,
awesome. So you'd be able to tell body language, speech, if they're going back or not on this, what they're originally
told.
That's
the other thing too. I was starting to get into the natural health industry at that time too. So I was learning communication, counselling, psychology as well. And part of that is the body language, so I could tell what was going on with people as well.
So that's a lot of tools that are just would be good for life skills, but also for what you what
I've found doing. Everything I've ever been taught or just have a knowing for, I utilise today.
Yeah.
Nothing has ever been wasted.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just vital. And I think just people should do a basic communication sort of counselling psychology thing just for their own benefit, just to help themselves and family.
Yeah.
You know,
no, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So once you got involved with UFO Research Queensland, obviously your experiences continue and they continue up to today.
Yeah.
How did things go from that frame, that period of time, so-called time, how did things progress for you, like learning about yourself, like your roots and all that sort of stuff? How did that play out
from UFOIQ, some of us from the younger ones from that group actually went and started our own group.
Yeah.
Which was UFO Investigation Centre Queensland. And then from that, it then turned into AUFORM, which is the Australian UFO Research Network.
All right,
And I was one of the owners of the magazines.
Yeah.
So the Australia Asian Ufologist and Exposure Magazine, which was originally David Summers. And then from there, I sort of then went out on my own after that. And
did your own thing for a bit?
Yeah, did my own thing. And at that time, it was about 2001, I moved out towards Warwick and lived out there and had my own experiences by myself. Never anyone else around. Cats, right. You know?
Yeah. Roaming around. Yeah, that's right. Trippy.
And I became a representative for UFO Research Queensland out there.
Yeah.
And then I had known about CSETI back in 2005, 2006, because I met Lisa Royale. And she used to be one of Dr. Greer's coordinators.
Yeah.
I think it was for Phoenix, Arizona.
All right.
And she was out here promoting her one of her channeling books, and she just said, "Oh, you had any good sightings lately?" And I said, "Yeah, da 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 da." And she goes, "Wow, we had the same one in Phoenix, Arizona. Like, she saw almost exactly the same thing. It all happened around Orion."
All right. Interesting. Yeah, interesting.
You'd appreciate that.
Yeah.
And she goes, "Oh," she goes, "what do you do to, you know, call on the ETs?" And I said, "Oh, we're kind of just been mucking around with things, really." And
but that would have been the intent there.
The intent was there. And I said, and lo and behold, we were actually doing the C5 protocols and techniques.
Yeah.
And I had no idea we were doing that. And I went, "Oh, is that what they are?"
That's trivia.
I know. And she said, "Oh, look up Stephen Greer." And I went, "Yeah, okay." And I didn't.
So was that around or just before the Disclosure Press Club conference
really got known?
Because it was around that time when that conference was done that we over here started to see who he was and what he was doing.
That's
of course,
right,
for a few years beforehand, he was on Art Bell and stuff like
that's
that.
Right,
but
yeah,
it goes back to, I think, maybe 92, 93, he originally started.
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
The center, yeah.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. 91, I think it was.
So this is before he was known that.
That's right.
This will play out for you.
Yeah, and then I touched base again with it in 2001. And then in 2003, 2006, and then 2007, I decided to become one of his coordinators for his working groups here in Australia. And then in 2009, Cam and I went over there to do the ambassador training thing.
So how long were you there for that?
We were with him close on 10 days. It's only 7 days, but we went to a couple of his talks as well.
Yeah.
So it's like you just... The only time I'm not with him is when he's sleeping, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, and then we did a road trip for the rest of the month. So
awesome. Cool. So what's happened out on those events? Like you, what I've noticed with doing it myself, and basically a similar thing, but there's slight differences, but you know, it's the same stuff. You've got the main point of doing it in a group is to make, you know, or develop relationship or contact on a collective level.
Yeah.
But also with that, you do get individual stuff coming through, which is good. While I say to people that we should voice what thought transfers or things that are coming through.
Yeah,
because
I promote that in CDRG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's a big thing. So, what's some of the tricky stuff?
And the thing with that is that somebody could be feeling it and can't verbalise it, and then Joe Blow over there goes, blah, 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 and they go, "Oh, yeah. That was it."
That's exactly.
You just took the words out of my mouth. I was just saying what you said.
Said, yeah.
And that is proper verification.
Yeah.
And that's something that really Ricky Butterfist, one of Steve's core group members, he'll say, you know, it's great to have the channeling, the messages and the downloads coming in. He said, but you need one or two other people to verify it.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. Well, at that time.
And it's great when others are there witnessing that, because there's no way you could
make this shit up. No,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
No. But I can only say what happened with our group in Joshua Tree.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually had my 40th birthday with Stephen Greer in the Mojave Desert, off my bucket list.
Yeah.
And it was actually that night, the Tuesday, November the 17th, that was the most active. So 5 minutes past midnight into the 17th, I felt the light beam me from the craft that was above us.
Yeah.
I just went, boop, boop, boop. And I went, wow, I've just been beamed. And I looked down and Steve goes, "Happy birthday." They just beamed you.
Awesome.
And I went, yeah, okay, whatever. And then, so that was kind of towards the end of the night. Then we go back to do the training with him from 2 to about 6. So we do remote view training and share experiences and stuff like that. Go out for dinner and then back in the field by 8 o'clock that night until whenever we finish. And right from the word go, driving out in Joshua Tree, which is just like such a remote area, our mate from New Jersey, Rod's in the back and Cam's there looking out the window at stuff already going on over the site. There's like lights and big orbs and flashes and... And I'm going, "Guys, look out my window here." They're going, yeah, but look out here. And I said, "No, there's like a 10-foot white alien running beside the car." And I'm doing 175 miles.
And there was something white, humanoid,
and he's
just running
like,
along.
Going, like, just having a stroll in the middle of the desert. And I actually waved at him. I don't know why.
That's creepy. And you're driving at, what, 100 k's or
whatnot? Yeah, like it's 100, like, miles, which is faster than the k's.
Yeah, yeah.
And the ET's just looking at me going, yeah, how you doing there, sister? It was almost a funny experience.
That's weird,
And Cam looks over and goes, yeah. But, he was too interested in what was going over there. There was just so much going on. And I saw this ET just run into a yucca tree, which is a Joshua tree, just melded with the tree.
And it didn't go through. It just became part of the tree.
Yeah.
There.
And we get to the site, and there's already stuff going on. Then I remember Steve standing up there, and I'm walking up beside him, and out of nowhere, out of the blackness of the sky, mothership, a light ship with all the most amazing colours, and it just appears. And then poof, 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 three more, like little scout ships.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're like partying. I think the protocols went out the window. But no, we were actually still doing the CTS and everything like that.
Yeah.
And we're just going, yay! And Steve's going, did you see that? Did you see that? Looking at me. And I go, yeah, we saw it. And it's just like, they're just sitting there and just like dancing around each other and then just boof, back into nothingness.
Yeah.
This is the shot that we showed you before where the craft came over and then it came up on its
head.
It turned around and then went backwards.
Yeah.
We got a photo of that. That's that one as well. There was a lot of military activity that night as well, flying over. And then there was another spectacular sight, which I do believe they got on video, but I don't think they've released it yet because there's video cameras and everything running in all directions. At first, our mate Rod and I thought, that looks like a really great big bomb coming into the atmosphere. Seriously, we thought it was something quite sinister. And then it was the shape of an acorn, it's the only way I can describe it. And you could see the atmosphere being bent.
Now, so the light and the atmosphere just all being warped.
It was warped, yeah. It was like that, and it was from horizon to horizon, and there was magentas and emerald greens and ruby reds and gold colour, and this beautiful, great big craft coming in. And Steve says, it's going into the underground ET base that's there. And it just melted into the ground. And we're thinking, oh, this is going to hurt when it hits. So it's just this great big mother of all ships going into the ET base.
Crazy.
And it's interesting because around that whole area too, you've got four big military bases as well.
That's interesting, aren't
it? Yeah, that is. And then also that was the same night that Bijou, the ET being from Andromeda, was photographed coming out of the Joshua tree, because you can see in the photo the pinpoint of light up here.
Yeah.
And there's almost a beam of light coming down, and then this being coming out like this and looking. And if you look at everything in front of where he is, it's all distorted. The energy field is distorting what the camera's picking up. That was taken by Raven, who's the Sea City main photographer, and she didn't have any flash on. I think she opened her... is it aperture, the lens?
Aperture, yeah.
Yeah, for like, I think it was like 30 seconds maybe.
Yeah.
And she just goes, she gets a feeling, she starts taking photos, but without, that was with no flash.
No flash, yeah.
And you would think that there was lighting this side and lighting that side, and she'd taken it with a flash. That's how much light had been created and was being coming through.
How did that information come that dude was from Andromeda?
Sea City have their resonant psychics as well, and people would have been downloaded, got downloads of information. So that's where the verification comes in.
That's awesome. Yeah. And that happens a lot. Yeah. Is that you'll get information just bang off the bat. Doing it on a larger scale like that than what I've been doing, it's good because you've got different people with different tools.
Yeah.
So everyone's bringing something to the plate and taking care of their own thing. You guys sit in a big, big ass circle, and everyone's sort of got every direction covered.
That's right. Well, at that time there was like 40 people, so it's like a massive circle.
Yeah.
And then Steve, and then his team, and then everyone else finds their own space. Yeah.
So that was Joshua Tree over 10 day period.
Yeah. Well, that was 7 day, and then we did a 2 day, 3 day workshop with him. Yeah.
Awesome.
As well.
So.
Yeah.
A lot of good quality time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Learning a lot.
Yeah.
So you've got the straight, what's it called, what you're...
Okay, and then, so in 2009, Cam and I co-founded Consciousness Development and Research Group Australia.
And I'll have the link up to the website with where this is posted on website and YouTube. So
because I do a lot of different modalities in many different areas, the UFO ET contact part is just
one thing.
So, but it's a big thing. It's probably, you know, a big chunk of it, and then I do all these other things, which is pretty much like earth-based spirituality.
Yeah, which is where all this leads to.
Bringing people back to their roots, to basic grassroots stuff. So, and I can tell you right now, it's different to New Age human potential movement stuff.
Mm.
This is the real stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, not the... There is some good stuff in the New Age movement, in the human potential movement, but this is about people getting back to their roots and their ancestors.
Empowering themselves and who they are. It's about realizing
that every piece of knowledge in every universe, multiverse, dimension, frequency and vibration is already within every cell of us.
Yeah.
No, we just have to start remembering.
Yeah. that's the thing, yeah. Like myself, it's just empowering people with tips and tools and realising that no one's got the answers you've already got.
No,
everything you need to know. And that's
if I don't know something, I'll send them off to Lauren or Amber.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
No, you're speaking around the bush and talking shit. Yeah.
It's just like, you know, no one is supposed to know everything.
Yeah.
We're all just one little piece of the puzzle, and that's what we're here to complete each other, not compete with each other.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
So what's been happening here in Australia when you do CE5
events? Okay, yeah, so...
You've been getting some awesome stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's Queensland area?
Yeah, Queensland seems to be a bit of a hot spot for the CE5 work going on.
Yeah.
It's just really taken off. Group-wise, CDRG, our group, has probably had for 18 months in the global CE5 groups. That's where, over a 24-hour period, groups and individuals... from all over the world, go out and do CE5 work at some point in time in that 24 hours. You can even do it through the daytime as well. It doesn't just have to be at night.
Yeah, you can do CE5 any time.
I mean, Cam does it when he's driving, which probably isn't a good thing to do.
Wash your eye.
So our group in particular has had between... lately, at least over the past 18 months, 40 to 60 people going out at a time.
And that's the most up here.
Yeah. And that's the most globally in any one group.
So, yeah,
the whole world. Thing going on. Yeah, we've like got, you know, usually between 40 to 60 people turning up. Yeah. We've got people coming up from Melbourne and God knows where else, you know, just that's for amazing. A one-nighter.
So yous will go through like doing remote viewing and coherent thought.
Yep.
All that stuff. And
what I get people to do, I really recommend people to go to the C-City website and get them to download the manual, which is now for free.
Yeah.
Okay. And to at least go through what CE5 means, the terminologies, the glossary of terms, go over the unbounded non-local mind section, go over the basic stuff that's there, and also download the ET contact tool, which is like a mini...
The app.
Mini course.
Yeah.
So, like, Steve does the 7 days, and that's like a mini course for yourself, so you can pull that up. You go, oh, I wonder what that means. I'll pull that up. Oh, okay, that's there. And then the manual is, like, is thick.
Yeah.
Because I've got the hard copy. you can download it. It's, like, 900 pages or something.
Yeah.
You know, put in your PDF, I want to look up, da da da, and it brings it straight up.
So
go over it there. It tells you, you know, what the protocols are and the different techniques. And what Dr. Greer and Mrs. Greer have given me the approval to do is to do an abridged version in between all of that. So what I've done over the years is pulled apart that manual, and with my own experiences from doing the CE5 work and just having contact in general, I put that together as two levels of courses that I do, which I'm starting up this year. I've revised it all. So there's a basic version that we do. So if you just want to come out and go, oh, I'm really interested in doing this, I just want to understand what this, this and this means. So it's to take it to the next step from actually going out in the field and getting into the nitty-gritty of it so that you totally understand what you're doing out there. Because there's not always enough time to go through everything when you've got 60 people in the field for, you know, 5 hours.
Yeah.
You kind of need to do it, do that in the afternoon and then go out in the field.
There's a lot to it, yeah.
Which is what we're doing. And then the next level up from that is if you want to be a coordinator like Amber, who's got set in the Gold Coast, and then Lauren's group, Aussie Setting. So they're coordinators. So I give them the lowdown on not just the coordinator's point of view from C-SETI and C5 work, but I've coordinated different types of groups over the years. So it's just about, you know, the pros and the cons, because it's not all pretty work.
Yeah. There's a lot to it, yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of work you've got to put into it, yeah. So I just help people who want to get their own group up and running or who already have a group up and running and tweak it a bit for them. Sweet. And I'm just there as a mentor for them.
Yeah,
so they're both like one day get-togethers. And so we do the, you know, about 4 or 5 hours work in the afternoon, have a dinner break and then go out and do the...
Get into it.
Night, actually put what we've learnt into practice.
Yeah, do the practical. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So, yeah. What's some of the highlights that happened in the events in Australia you were doing?
Yeah. Going out in the field? We use the property out at Mount Sampson sometimes.
Yeah.
And I mean, we get a lot of good stuff in our own backyard too. But the property at Sanford is, Mount Sampson, sorry, is used for spiritual things anyway. So it's already there and it's got many portals open. It's like a cultural peace centre, that's what they're turning it into. And they have a lot of Maori, Aboriginal and Native American cultural things that go on there.
Yeah.
And I'm now introducing the Celtic side of it as well. There's just like the owners there saying, oh, is that what that is that we've been saying? ETs.
Yeah.
And they'll see portals open up and ET step through. So it's just an active area anyway.
Seems to be a shitload of portals up this whole
The whole area. Yeah. And actually there's a fellow here somewhere on the Sunshine Coast that says like the Glasshouse Mountain area is a little bit like Sedona.
Well, I've had a lady visit me a few weeks ago back when I was in Albury saying almost similar stuff, talking about a lot of stuff up and down. So, yeah, it seems to be what people are experiencing and seeing. Right. And I felt the energy up here. Yeah. The energy is just absolutely...
Yeah, yeah.
Just, blissed out. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And also, it's like that whole main range, border ranges area and then leading up into here. You know, it's just rife, even right up to where the Gympie Pyramid was, is just rife with portals and yowies and black panthers and other
all the tricky stuff.
Yeah.
But the sightings up in this whole area, I've said it before on the show, like from Sydney going up to here and further.
Yep.
It just seems to be
something's happening.
Yeah, yeah. People are getting great footage. There's more mass sightings in terms of multiple witnesses. Yeah. Not you know, with Phoenix type stuff, but multiple witnesses to stuff, videos, and it's just happening all up and down this whole entire area. You've been getting stuff when you go out, or you've been capturing some cool stuff.
Like I was saying at Mount Sampson, we've been getting there's like a where we have our circle. This quite a dense forest next to it, but it's down in a huge gully. You couldn't walk through there, if you did, you'd be cutting your legs up and everything like that. And I've taken daytime photos of where we've seen the beings going through the forest. First time was in 2009, and we just thought there might have been kids mucking around with torches, but then we thought, oh, there's no crunching of walking through there. And then one of our resident psychics said, I can see that the light is... the being's heart, that's what we're saying. You know, six of them. And they're just floating through the forest. And at a joint CE5 we did with another group back in February, I just happened to be telling that story to one of the group members. Within 15 minutes, it happened again.
Yeah, and they got to see it?
Yeah, they got to see it. But then it actually came down the side of the mountain. And there's photographs that are linked on our webpage, back to the other group's webpage as well. You could see a whole string of lights, and I think it's at least three beings you can see. One of them looks like a mantis.
Yeah.
And but then in the distance we saw, at first I thought, oh, it's like, you know, sometimes you get moonlight shining off the tree canopy.
Yeah, like a reflection type.
Yeah, and I thought, well, we're in no moon, there's no reflection, and that whole area, there's no one lives in there, it's dense forest, it's actually national, it's state forest.
Yeah.
And these two dome things were kind of like really intriguing everyone. After the beams had gone, so were the domes.
Yeah, that's
so it's just like, okay, that was their craft.
Yeah.
So we've had beings come up, we'll be sitting there, and they'll move us around.
Yeah.
Yep. And they allow us to, so we've got our eyes closed, but they'll allow us to see through our eyelids shut and see what they look like. I actually even recommend people practice open eye meditation.
Yeah.
You can still do the CTS, which is coherent thought sequencing.
Yeah.
Which is actually a very high-level remote viewing, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's different types of remote viewing put together. So you can still see what's going on around you, but you're still connecting with each other and out to the cosmos. But what a lot of people do by mistake when they go out on the night watch, whether they're doing C5 work or just hope a UFO turns up, is they're always looking in the sky.
And that's what I say.
Look at ground level.
Yeah.
Because they're already here.
And you'll know by thought transfer or that's whatever right. you want to call yeah. it, when to look up and whatever.
Exactly, yeah.
Because, you'll know. Yeah, it's yeah. like when it starts out, you'd like, well, for me, it was like, yeah. what do I know to go outside and every time I see a UFO?
Yeah, that's right.
Because it's what's coming through.
Well, there's a group in New York State, right? This lady, one of the coordinators, lives 3 hours north of New York. And during the blizzard that they had there a couple of years ago, she ended up having 30... She'd only just started and sort of like knew nothing about ETs until she was sitting in her dentist surgery and the crop circle tones came on through their speaker system.
That's creepy.
And she's going, this is really weird. And the dentist came out and picked her out and said, what are you doing? Like, for some reason, he knew it was her.
Yeah.
And she said, I don't know. He said, it's coming out of your phone. And so, how did he know that?
Yeah.
And she brings up her phone, and it's got a Pleiadian light ship
on it.
She goes, whoa, I don't know anything about this. I don't even know what this is. And she eventually contacted Stephen Greer, found out, you know, what the tones were. And, like, she's one of the top coordinators over there now. Got 30 people in a group, and they'll travel 3 hours in a blizzard there and back one night just to do C5 work with her inside her meditation room. So you don't actually have to, because a lot of people are in areas where, like in cities, they don't have the means to go and drive to the beautiful places we've got here in Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
So they have to make shift with what they've got.
Well, that's it.
And it's all about the intention and the consciousness work that you're doing.
Exactly. That's where it lies with intention and the reason why you're doing it and all that, because they can pick up on intent and why you're doing it. But that's exactly right. It's a big point, like how I was talking to you earlier about the ship, the crafts, like that smoky stuff, and you'll see that the outside of the like shape of the craft and even beings and whatnot.
Yep.
There's so much that goes on at ground level. That's why I said I don't always tell people. I see if they're picking up.
Yeah.
Because if they do pick up on, obviously, they're mental at the time. Over time, I might say, you know, look at this and, you know, look at what's going on. But you're exactly right that what goes on at ground level, like, lights in the sky are cool, the power-ups and the change of direction and big-ass things popping up out of anywhere.
Yeah.
But the reason why you really want to be doing it, if, to connect with yourself and your abilities and connect with, on a universal level, but you want the contact, really. Mm. So thought transfers, seeing stuff, orbs, the trippy stuff. Yeah. And that's where you're exactly right that you really want to be looking on the ground. And I think I was saying to Lauren today that I've noticed that sometimes I'll see orbs on the ground and then I'll look up and there's the craft. So it's sort of like a distraction.
Exactly,
or you'll see the craft up there and you look down.
Yeah.
So I always sort of go from one to the other.
That's right, I'm always...
to pick up.
Get a sore neck after a while. But
Some people, that are doing it should be not wary of, but think of.
That's right, And the other thing, like out at Mount Sampson again, like the night we had the joint C5 with the other group, there was this 10-foot being just cruising along. I wasn't sure if it was a Yowie or an ET at the time.
Yeah.
It was just like a black shadow. Didn't feel threatened by it at all. Comes in, there's a bit of a gap where people didn't quite join up. Walks through, comes up to the pooja table. All right, everything's in right. Yep. Poof, disappears. Several other people saw that.
Yeah.
And it's all different descriptions. One person saw it as a robotic being. others saw it not black but a different colour. So it's all,
their
it's
eye was getting different.
Yeah, yeah, it's all in the eye of the beholder, isn't it?
Yeah, well, as well. That's
and
exactly
their level
it.
Of where they're at,
where they're at,
and what's going on with them as well. Yeah, so all that sort of stuff. And then there's up at Smurf, Greg Kernighan's property.
Is that the thing that
Springbrook?
Greg came to?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So we used his property. Smurf stands for Springbrook Mountain Extraterrestrial Response Force.
Cool. Yeah, that's tricky. Smurf.
Yeah, and he just started up because so many people were getting sightings of Yowies and UFOs and ETs and stuff. And it was going to the Springbrook Observatory, and he's the guy who runs that's mates with Greg. Yeah. I hope I've got the story right, Greg. You can kick my butt later. and Greg just, no, I'll just start this up. So he has his own little thing going on, does his own version. And then when I said, oh, you know, can we use your property for Dr. Stephen Greer? He just like, yes, of course. I love him.
True.
I think he secretly had a man crush on him.
Man crush.
Had a bruising going on.
Yeah. Oh, this is going to do something to him then. He'll be like, no, why are you saying this, Kay?
It's all right. He'll get me a headlock layer and love you. And, yeah, so Greg's got the most amazing equipment. He's got these big infrared beacons.
Yeah.
And because there is a bit of a flight path there.
They're huge too. I've seen the evidence and the things are just bloody these huge white beams.
He used the biggest one, but he's got smaller ones sort of like the size of a snare drum and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the big one is, I think it might be up there permanently. And just puts a cover on it and stuff. And so he used that and he had, I think it was 1, 2, 3 infrared cameras set up, ready to go, and on remote, and you just click, 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 and that's when he captured the light. Well, it was actually a light being as an orb first, moving through the crowd, and then happens to stand right next to Stephen Greer, and it was like this big bird being. But you can see also when you look at the photos, there's other beings standing nearby this other light illuminated being.
Trippy, I've looked at the stuff and even the actual quality of it's really...
it's amazing stuff. So, and Greg says there's stuff going up on his property all the time.
Yeah. No, so, it's weird because I talked to a few people that went to that and they said, you know, we didn't see anything, yada, yada, yada. And then, you know, Lauren, you were there, weren't you? And
I was
stuff.
Steve's personal assistant the whole time,
And talking to you guys, different story, but the people who said they didn't see anything, they said it was trippy because, you know, when they saw what
was actually there,
what was caught, they're like, you know, shit, you know, we didn't see anything. And we're thinking Greg is nuts because we didn't see what he was seeing. But then you go over the footage and it's been picked up.
Yeah, and there's one infrared photo where Steve's pointing up and you can see just the edge of the craft.
Yeah.
And but we were actually seeing that with our eyes.
Yeah.
So we were actually seeing an infrared.
Yeah,
that's trippy.
Yeah. It is. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
So it's
was there many people at that event?
It started off with 55. That included CDRG staff. We were his admin team while he was over here, and then we opened it up. Yeah. So we ended up close to 100 people.
Good size.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And the weather was pretty good.
Oh, it was absolutely freezing our butts off.
Freezing, yeah.
And actually an ARV, Alien Reproductive Vehicle.
Yeah, government.
Meaning that you don't go up there and have your reproductives worked on. It means,
that's what you were. Got to be careful about that, yeah.
That means a back-engineered
aircraft. Back-engineered, yeah.
It's cunningly disguised as a plane. Flew over. That's where in the recording that we've got, you hear Steve and I go, oh, saw that. Goes over. And everyone who looked up got sunburnt.
Trippy.
Yeah. So I woke up the next morning going, oh, shit, my face hurts. Lauren goes, you're red. I said, so are you.
So you've all got that physical effect going on. Yeah,
even Steve was red in the face.
That's trippy.
Yeah, so that's you usually get that sort of a thing from a man-made UFO.
Yeah.
Not a...
Real. UFO. Yeah, in
I like to call them extraterrestrial vehicles because they're not unidentified.
Yeah, well, that's it, really.
And that's something that the military came up with anyway.
Yeah, just to just put disinformation in there and make it all look like...
They're ETVs, extraterrestrial vehicles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's the way to go with that because, you know, it's, that's where, yeah, it's just been part of the this misinformation, yeah, whatever, just to throw smoke clouds in there. And then they've obviously knew for a long time.
Yeah.
They might not know fully what they're interacting with. They'll know some of what they're interacting with, but they've done that as a smoke, screen sort of thing.
Yeah.
So what's happened with your experiences lately, in terms of, you know, what's come through for you, and how's things sitting for you in your development and that?
My sort of things is, one of my downloads from the ETs was those who work with nature or, like, get more contact. So it's about working with Mother Earth.
Yeah.
And working with nature and being aware of your own environment and things. And then you become aware of other people's environments, including ET. The other thing too, the ET, when you go out in a CE5, and if you sense, feel or see ETs there, have respect for them in the fact that they too are probably ambassadors to their universe or their planet or their culture or race, and they're like doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing, like when we were at Joshua Tree, there was a light craft that had landed way over, and over a period of days, Steve did the diplomatic thing. And he walked out there one night by himself and completely disappeared. He actually entered the craft.
Yeah. Well, this is the stuff I was saying to you, that people don't realise what happens on ground. Right. Yeah.
And he came back and he said, right, he said, we are allowed to. He said, but you must do exactly what I say and do not step out of line. He said, or you, something like, you go home.
Yeah.
He's hopeful. So he had to go out single file out in the desert track, and he said, you must, no talking, no equipment, no nothing, and you will have the experience with them. And some of us could actually see the craft just sitting there and couldn't quite see.
Was it like what I described on the ground?
Yeah, and then you could hear this this little giggling, like little kids giggling. And, of course, quite often the ETs, and they had this experience in France as well, that the ETs are very cautious of us as well, because we're a bit sort of trigger happy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what's the first thing a human does when they see something weird? Oh, we'll just go shoot it.
Yeah.
We'll throw something at it.
Yeah. It's become second nature.
Rather than being centered and go, that's interesting, how we're going to respond to this rather than react to it. So, and that's where the consciousness development again comes in handy. It's about, for days, I'll send out an email. You know, like our next one's next weekend. So within the next few days of that week, I'll send out the next one.
Yeah.
And I'll say, this is what you need to do, people. The participants, that's a really big word. Participants' preparation is to download the app, download the files, do some research, don't come cold turkey. Please look at the safety instructions. Do the meditations.
Yeah. Well, that's a big part of it, getting them to do the work themselves. Yeah,
and it's like, I'm not your mother. The only mother I'm to is my cat. That's it. And I'm not here to hold your hand. And I'm here to mentor you to become the fantastic beings that you already are.
Yeah, that's
which you exactly have right. forgotten about.
Yeah. No, well, that's
we are galactic beings. Thing.
Yeah. No, and this is what was great talking to you over dinner was, and before dinner was the multidimensional side, like, we're all starseeds, we've all lived lives and all are at the same time when you get even to the more tripped out aspect. We're living all these lives on other planets and dimensions and stars and whatever else in inner planes and all that. And that this is where it gets to now. And, like, there just seems to be so much going on. But that's where it lies with consciousness, our own God self being a cell of whole.
Yeah, the greater being.
And this is where it seems to lead to for everyone.
Yep.
So, you know, that's where it really lies. And getting people to empower themselves, and that's great that's where that this is geared to. Because, you know, it's a lot for people to take in, but this is where it's a growing and learning curve. So have you got many people that come to these events that have not seen anything?
Yeah. Yeah, but they believe and they want to see something.
So what's it like for them when they start out? Do they see some stuff the bat?
One of our core group members, he hasn't had a lot of experiences. But we had a beautiful, most people would call it an orb. It was three people up from me. It was ambery colour with a gold sphere, sheath around it.
Yeah.
And at arm's length, it would have been as big as my fist coming through. And someone said, oh, a firefly. And I was like, it's a big firefly.
Yeah.
Firefly pterodactyl. And it was an ET man.
Yeah.
And it went straight past him. And I just heard him go, oh. Like, he had an experience there and then.
Yeah.
And he said, I really did see that, didn't I? I said, yeah. And I said, what do you think that was? He said, an orb. I said, it was an ET being. I said, orbs can be, yeah, short orbs of light, or they can be whole galaxies and universes within themselves coming into this dimension, or they can be ET or elemental beings.
Yeah.
And
that's the large variety.
And I said, I said, wait till the debrief. Let's see what other people felt about that. And a lot of people felt that it was an ET.
The same thing.
Yeah.
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 So there seems to be like, I've had people that come out that haven't had experiences and they'll have experiences too. And it's like how things are played out for them to be in that spot at that time. It's all led them to their awakening.
Yeah.
But it's all them. And that's what I say to people when you go out and do this work. I didn't make this happen. No. We, as a collective, made this happen. And now shit's going to... You know, you say beware, but in a good way, that this is going to start happening daytime, nighttime.
It's like the typical, when I was first taught how to meditate, it's like you can have 10 people in a circle doing meditation. We're all at different frequencies. But once we start meditating, it's going to go to the person who has the highest frequency and everyone else will get up to that level.
Yeah.
It's the same thing happens with the CE5 work or any other kind of work you do.
Yeah.
Like that, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
We get lots of pretty satellites going, doing left-hand, right-hand turns.
Satellites.
It's just like, wow, there's five satellites flying side by side.
A UFO pretending to be a satellite. Yeah.
Come on, guys. But, like, they do the flyovers early in the night like that just to get the newbies excited.
Yeah.
Like, and I get excited too.
it's always cool. You know, that's what I say to people. It's cool
then,
stuff.
And then, you know, you got to calm them down and then it's like, okay, well, let's get into the work and do the meditation.
Get involved.
Yeah. And I said, remember, we can still be sitting here chatting, but you can still be doing the CTS.
Yeah. Now, that's the intent and thought's got to be basically going the whole time.
And I keep reiterating, you know, it's... we're here, there's no I in team, we're here for each other.
Yeah.
It's no one person having an individual experience, even though you will.
Yeah.
We've got to do it as a collective.
That's the main point. Yeah. And to have fun with it as well, having the intent.
If you heard some of our recordings, seriously, some of it would have to be edited.
Yeah, well, that's what with me.
But I forget Cam's recording, he's going, we're recording, and I went,
yeah.
I'll stop swearing.
It's fun and they pick up on the intent and they know what's going on. So,
and they're some of the best camping night watches I've been on. You've got the guitar and the drum out, you're singing away, telling dirty jokes, eating Tim Tams and drinking chocolate Milo, and you go, oh, there's a UFO. Or, hey, there's an ET over in the bush there. Oh, da, da, da. And, you know, so it's like, you know, you're always in your heart. I think through my heart with this. So your intent can't come from here. You've got to meld the brain, take it down that elevator, put it into the cosmic heart here, and send that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where it is. That's where it's coming from. It's coming from you, the cosmic being through your cosmic heart, linked with, 60 other people. You see that beam of gold light going up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome stuff.
And we've actually seen, there was one time I arranged with a couple of the other groups around the world. I said, we've got to send our beam out. Let's see if we can join them.
Yeah.
Here's our GPS coordinates. And we saw these beams of light going over. We were sitting in our backyard. There was only six of us that night. And it's just, Cam said, that's the beam. And I said, yeah. And I said, let's hook in. And it was like a big ley line lit up across the sky.
Awesome.
And I said, is it only you and I seeing this? Because we mentioned this and other people who didn't know about it said, hey, what's that white line going across the sky?
They're picking
up on it, yeah.
Has there been much government sort of, like doing what we do, has there been much sort of government interference or...
Shitload.
Yeah. Because that's what it's, I've had that as we spoke about.
Yeah.
So, like...
I've had government involvement since 5 years old.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that goes...
And I'm not kidding you, and I don't big note myself.
Yeah.
Because I do all the behind-the-scenes work.
Yeah.
You know, a physicist friend of mine who... I've worked with him on nanotechnology, I'll put it out there. He had a visit from some suits from different areas and alphabet agencies one time. Not so back in 2006 that was.
And these were Aussie blokes? Or Aussie something?
No, there was the CIA, ASIO, Feds and two men in black.
So it was a bit of a mixture combination.
He said the men in black were a bit tricky. in his very Aussie accent.
Yeah.
He's probably just sitting there in his stubbies and thongs, you know.
Yeah.
And he said, okay, they threw my file down on the table. And he said, that was bloody thick. He said, then they threw your file down. And I said, seriously? I said, I've always joked about that. He said, no, had your name on it. And he read out my full name.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you don't know my middle name.
Yeah.
And so he read that out.
I was there, yeah.
And he said, he read out my date of birth, da 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 da. And he said, and had your picture on there? And he said, it was a fairly recent one. And I went, oh, well, whatever. I'm just like, if I keep looking behind me, wondering who's going to stab me in the back, I don't live life.
You can't be worried about that.
And I've got a, and this is where I've learnt from Stephen Greer. He knows that there's the good, bad, and different and ugly out there. Because he's had it in his face. All the time.
Yeah.
You know, he's had people murdered around him.
Mm.
Not he hasn't got them murdered, but
they've been murdered, yeah, being involved with what, him, yeah, what he's doing.
Isn't the English language a bastard? quite often they'll take out people that are closest to you rather than you directly.
Well, just exactly. Just to scare the shit out of you. Just a head fuck.
But, you know, and he said, you know, I know all that stuff's happening, he said, but if I focus on that, we can't get any of the good stuff done.
Yeah.
And that's what I do. I know that, you know, I've been part of conspiracies that I didn't want to be part of. Mm. And, you know, it's like, okay, that exists. How can we find a solution? Okay, you can bitch about it all you like.
It's being active and just getting and stuff
it's always
done.
Exciting talking about it. I said, but, you know, what's the solution?
Mm.
Now, even David Icke talks about that. He goes over, I was in a talk of his for 11 hours when he was out here in Australia. And it's like, yep, heard all this. And then I was really proud of him at the end. He said, and the solution is, okay, and I'm so glad he brought that up. And that's what it is. It's all about bringing the solution. And it's all about here.
You're it's all us working through. On ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
And if just all of us do it, you know. And
watching each other's back as well, but not in a paranoid fashion. But as a collective community. Galactic community.
Yeah, they're supposed to be aware of the negative things.
Well, you can't have just one. To be aware of a duality. You've got to have negative and positive.
Definitely. So it's best not to dwell on it, but be aware of it.
Yeah.
And be a bit studied up on it. And if you've experienced it, well, you're getting first hand.
And knowledge is power.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's best to be aware of those types of things. And then from there, you know, you can, at least you've got something, some grounding on it, rather than just being ignorant to.
That's right. Yeah. Rather than just sweeping it under the carpet and going, no, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Well, everything exists, whether we see it or not. It's whether we choose to believe it or not.
Yeah.
And experience it or not. You don't even have to believe it. You can just experience something that you don't believe in too.
And then at the end of the day, it's all an illusion.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So. Yeah. And so it's it's about, you know, what I do is I stay focused on moving myself forward and bringing everyone with me equally.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be the arrow point.
Us is doing as a collective, so, all of us working ourselves, getting together.
Even when, you know, like Kim and I might go shopping, he'll walk behind me and I'll stop. And he goes, what are you doing? I said, will you catch up?
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not the frigging queen. Walk beside me is my... He just laughs at me.
Queen. That's awesome. No, it's so true, but we've got to do that as a people, you know. Yeah. We've got to be on the same level. So... what's the beings that you've, like, mainly interacted with, like...
Okay, well, the first one was my tall, white, plasma, angelic being.
Yeah, the triple
and
grey.
And the funny thing is, I never ask their name and I never ask where they're from or what they... Yeah. I just go, hi, you again.
And that happens with a lot of you.
Never occurred to me to do that.
Yeah.
I started back in 1997, I think it was. I started doing psychic drawings.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I'd like to, I practiced on myself first before I tried anyone else. I said, I'd like to draw my ET self.
Yeah.
And so I just did a lucky dip in my pastels. It's this big mess everywhere, and I'm just going around in a circle, just going with my intuition. And then this face appears out of the paper, and I'm like, okay. And I just filled in the detail. And I meditated on it, and that was my vegan self.
So, yeah.
From Vega.
Vega.
And as a naturopath, I have a Vega machine.
Yeah, it's creepy stuff.
I know, yeah. Which, and the fellow who developed that, the backstory to that was that he did have, he was a German fellow back in the 1930s, had a ET experience, and they were from Vega. And they gave him the technology to build the Vega test machine, and that's why authorities don't like us having it.
Yeah.
And it was only to be given to natural health practitioners as well.
So is it a coincidence or synchronicity? You know, yeah, maybe
exactly. When I had my clinic out at Killarney, I'd have guys come in going, oh, the ET machine. And I'm going, what? And I went, oh, yeah. And they said, yeah. And it's funny because guys only pick up on it when I put them on it. It's like a biofeedback machine.
Yeah.
And they start talking to them, which is really the weirdest thing. Cam does it. He goes, oh, I can feel her, like her energy. And I said, it's a her, is it? And I said, okay. Like, I just use it as a diagnostic tool.
Yeah.
I go into the, you know, analytical male mind, and all the guys go, oh, I feel really, really touchy right now. And it does something to their energy. And because it is part biological with a Faraday cage in it and everything like that, and yeah, biological substances within it that were created to a digital card.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I know.
Technical.
That just bent my brain then.
Yeah. Have an aneurysm.
Yeah.
Blood coming out the nose, fall on the ground. Yeah.
Too much information. Yeah, so even off that, people are, like, particularly guys are just going, oh, wow, I can feel the extraterrestrial energy coming through that. So, it's weird how I knew I was a vegan back in 1997, and in 2001 I purchase a Vega test machine.
And there's been other stuff to...
Other things that lead up to, yeah, isn't it? Weird, eh? And, so I've had other experiences with blue beings.
Yeah.
And
they're human...
All humanoid.
Yeah.
Yep. And except
they're not light top beings, like human light beings, but physical blue dudes, yeah.
One time I was getting up to do the markets. This is back in the mid-90s again. And it's like 4 o'clock in the morning, and I thought it was my roommate down the end of the hall, because he's an artist and would always paint himself different colours. You know who you are. I thought it was him standing at the end of the hallway. And I said, oh, g'day. And I thought, what's he doing up this hour? And I go and have a shower, come back out. And I'm going, wow, he's still standing there. And I'm like going, I don't think that's my roommate. And this being turns around, and he's got a device in his hand, and he's going, human, I've been spotted. And I had my socks on, I did the old Tom Cruise thing out of that movie down the hallway. Yeah. Trying to chase him. He went out straight through the plate glass window, and I crashed into it.
Jeez, yeah.
Yeah. So I hadn't developed my materialising through objects yet. So it was just like, we used to have weird stuff going on in that house. We called it UFO headquarters. And had a big blues portal just open up in the wall and come out. And I had to stop my niece from going into it. She was like ready to grab it. She was just mesmerised with it. And I said, nope, we're not going in there today. Come back out. Yeah, and then when I lived up in the old batter factory at Killarney, you'd have a hell of a lot of orbs flying around. Yeah. Like, you'd actually see them. They were just solid with your naked eye. And then this one night, I'm in the library on the computer, and my cat at the time, Gizmo, he's just sitting there, and then he goes, you know, isn't it freaky when cats go and look beyond you and go...
So they're picking up on
shit was standing behind around me. Yeah. And I turned around, and there's just this pinpoint of light, like, in the middle of the room, and it just goes, and just opens up, and this, it wasn't in humanoid form at all, but it was a being, and it was like when you do plasma welding, that's what it looked like, and it was just this shape appearing, but it was alive.
Did it get to a point where it engulfed the room at all?
No, it didn't. It actually just stopped as, it had like four... I'll call them tentacles.
Yeah.
But it was just light, pure light, and it was just moving around like this. Tricky. And I was just like, oh, this is beautiful. I should get the camera, but I can't.
Yeah. So I can't. Last thing you're thinking of a lot of the time, yeah, too, you just like, I've missed some really good.
You just need to wear one on your head.
Yeah. 24/7, that would be good, that's actually. Right, yeah, exactly.
And then I've had weird things happen where there's been craft outside and then military choppers or craft turn up.
Yeah.
And scare them off.
Same sort of stuff, yeah.
And a lot of the time, some of the craft or the ETVs that turn up are actually biological entities themselves or biological craft.
Yeah.
The extraterrestrial vehicle or the UFO may not be a nuts and bolts or even a biological ship.
It's the actual consciousness.
It's the actual being itself.
Yeah. And I've been in some of them crafts where it's been done on a collective level.
Yeah.
So there's a group, and then I've been on it, and then, things made by thought. And yeah, it's exactly. Like,
yeah, you become one with the
craft. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you can perceive everything outside, inside, all at once.
I had a friend of mine, her ex-husband, who was part Brazilian, he said as a child growing up in Sao Paulo, he said it was just normal for the big orange craft to come down, and the little people would get off, the little orange people would get off, and the big craft would shrink down to the size of a football and follow them around.
Yeah.
And then when they were ready to go, when they'd finished playing soccer or whatever, the craft would go poof, back out again, and the little beings would get on and they'd fly off. And I'm going, wow, that's so cool.
Yeah. That's trippy, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's showing the symbiotic relation of that particular consciousness with the beings.
It's a lot deeper than what people think.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, so it's like, you know, if you yahoos out there that are in fear and go, oh, there's a craft up there, and start shooting it, you're actually shooting another living being.
Yeah. And really ourselves, exactly.
How true is that? And the other thing too is when we do see a craft, whether it's biological or more nuts and bolts, look beyond the craft itself to see the occupants.
And notice the thoughts.
Because they're up there going, oh, they're just forgetting about us again. Just like, hey, they like our cruising ship. Yeah. Rather than, you know, come on, we want you to make contact with us.
Definitely.
And that's where the remote viewing and the CTS comes in here. CTS, even though it's a higher form of remote viewing, it's probably one of the easier ones to do.
Yeah, well, that's like similar. I've read up on that, and it's basically what sort of state I go in.
Exactly, yeah.
Anyway.
It's the unbounded.
Yeah, unbounded conscious. Yeah, and you're basically, like, there's no, you know, it's all non-locality.
And as soon as you start doing it, you're actually bilocating.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're out there already.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whether you do it with your eyes shut or closed as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and that's been coming up for me a bit lately, the bilocation.
Yeah.
It's sort of, I guess the more you get involved with working on yourself, the more evolved things get.
Yeah. So. And the other thing too, the other thing that comes in with the ET contact work is the spiritual side of it, and I guess the paranormal or parasciences side of it as well. So they sort of all go hand in hand.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying before, like everything overlaps. And that's where like the really all of us in the field have to be open-minded, stop the preconceived notions, but work together. So whether it's the paranormal field or the psychic field, the UFO field, ET field, you know, whatever, we all sort of need to be looking at each other's stuff and supporting each other because it's all interconnected.
And that's something that I know you've been doing and Damien Knotts has been doing. Our group, Lauren's group and Amber's group, we all just, you know, hold each other's hands, but it's just like...
Just support each other.
We did a talk down at Amber's group, I think it was last Thursday. And, you know, it was just like, I was sitting on the chair there and I just thought, this is so fucking cool.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, my group, your group, your group's here. Wow. Like, how often do you see that? Because unfortunately in the UFO industry, there's a lot of competition.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, completing and supporting each other. And it's just like, you know, we share everything, you know.
Yeah.
And if we've got a problem with something or need help with something or, you know, go to each other's talks, you know, we're there for each other.
Yeah.
And that's real community.
That is. And that's what, you know, we're getting up here, you know, and you guys have been doing for a while. And, like I said, being up here is just because it's not like that down where I'm from. Mm. You know, it's just so different. Just society is different in that way down there, where you haven't got as much people having. Or I reckon there's a lot of people having experiences, but they're just not open or what up.
Yeah.
Come up here, and it's just been family every place I've gone.
Yeah.
Like everyone I've met is an experiencer, which is just trippy from where I'm from. And you come up here, and everyone you meet,
and you go, I already know you.
Yeah.
And it's not from the internet.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, and that's what's been happening everywhere is that we all know it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, as soon as I saw you in person, I went, you've been on the Confederation ship, man.
No, it's tricky stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you were picking up on a lot of that information before I was saying it. Yeah. So this is where it's beautiful. So
That's right. Yeah, and that's about us being in our higher mind, our higher self, and it's our other selves connecting in as well.
Yeah.
Mm, there's a lot of presence in this room tonight too.
Yeah, I know. I've been seeing a few blinks here and there over that thing over there. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll wrap it up there.
Okay, cool.
But, we'll keep in contact. And,
absolutely.
Yeah, I'll get you on again sometime. And
love to.
Yeah, fantastic work you're doing. And just, such a blessing for us all.
My aim is just to, you know, get everyone to get together as a community. And, you know, it's not about, oh, this person's running this group. It's about, it is an individual soul journey.
Yeah.
But if you can do it with mates, it's even better.
That's it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's about education.
Yeah, well, that's
and remembering we already know it.
Yeah. Just reconnecting with it. That's right. That part of ourselves. So, all right. No thanks worries. Again. No and worries. Cheers all for watching and talk soon.
Catch ya.
Cheers.